You know, each parsha has its own identity. And obviously when parshiyos come together, there's an identity that's formed from the combination of the two particular parshiyot. And so when we talk about Achrei Mod and Kedoshim in general, obviously we have to talk about what it means when it's Achrei Mod Kedoshim. And I think the ideas in each parsha have to be looked at differently when these two parshiyos come together. And I'd like to, not much time, to speak, take one idea from Achrei Mod and one idea from Kedoshim. You know, definitely of the most central ideas in each of these parshiot, and speak about and try and see what we should take from them for where we are now. The last parak in Parshat Achrei Mot is really about arayot, like a list of arayot, but it begins and ends by encasing the discussion about arayot in a context of not being like the nations that the Jewish people have been and will be exposed to. The end of the parak speaks about how the people of Canaan have done these things, arayot, and have defiled the land, and because they've defiled the land, and it's a real image, the land is spitting them out. And if the Jewish people do the same things, the land will spit them out too. Which is why, you know, religious people were and are so sensitive to the wrong things being done in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the horror that Jews in Europe, religious Jews in the end of the 19th century, in the 20th century, the horror with which they received the reports of this, what was going on in the settlements of Eretz Yisrael, people not being makbid on halacha, in particularly areas of Arayah, stuff like this. That sensitivity came from parashiyos like this, which talk about the land being incapable of tolerating, right, these kind of things going on. But the introduction to the parak, where it also speaks about Gemas Eretz Mitzrayim Sheir Shafna Belo Taasu, Chemas Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mivi Etchem Shama Lo Taasu, also speaks about this contrast. Uvechukoteim Lo Teilechu. These words, Uvechukoteim Lo Teilechu, of course, the source for Chukos Hagoyim, and there's obviously a lot to speak about what these words mean halachically, right? Halachically, that we shouldn't, we should separate ourselves from the Goyim. But tonight I want to speak more about what the concept means conceptually. So the first thing we have to note here is that Pasuk Dalid further develops the context of Uvechukoteim lo teilechu. Uvechukoteim lo teilechu et mishpatai ta'asu v'et chukotai tishmeru lo lechet bohem. It's not just v'chukotam lo teilechu. It's v'chukotam lo teilechu et chukotai tishmeru. There's this contrast. In fact, the Sifra says here that you might say, hey, it's not fair. They have chukim, we don't have chukim. Interesting thing, like, why would we need chukim? No, we have chukim too et chukotai tishmeru. But getting back to the phrase itself, v'chukotam lo teilechu. First of all, it's interesting that when we refer to the ways of the Goyim, we talk about their chukim in particular. And number two, the phrase that's very interesting here is uvechukotem lo teilechu. I don't know if I would have used the shorish of halicha to refer to observing or following, right? That's literally where it comes from, following the chukos hagoyim. And this phrase, uvechukotem lo teilechu, is really a central phrase not only in the parsha but in Sefer Vayikra as a whole. And I think you see it most significantly from where, of course, the Tochacha. Tochacha begins in v'chukotai teilechu. Then v'zai tishmu v'asitim otam v'natati kishbichem b'yitam, etc. And the contrast, the negative, the in v'chukotai tim asu. And it's interesting that the contrast is either v'chukotai teilechu or v'chukotai tim asu. V'im et mishpatai tig'al nafshechem. They'll be disgusted with my mishpatai. Is it one or the other? Rashi elaborates here. V'im b'chukotai tim asu, moes ba'acherim ha'osim. You'll show disgust for others doing the chukim. Mishpatai tigal nafshechem, sone hachomim. Like a hatred and negativity towards others doing it, others representing it, sone hachomim. What's even more interesting is to see what Rashi says about the concept of v'chukotai te'lechu in the beginning of the parasha. Rashi says v'chukotai te'lechu yachol ze kiyum ha-mitzvot. Maybe it means fulfilling mitzvot. Kishu omer v'et mitzvotai tishmeru. Rest of the pasuk v'chukotai te'lechu v'chukotai tishmeru hare kiyum ha-mitzvot amur. That's already mentioned. Ha mani mekayem im v'chukotai te'lechu. So what do I understand to learn from this additional phrase mentioned first? Shetiyu ha-melem b'torah. And the first thing that's surprising here is, how does B'chukotai Te'lechu imply in any way something to do with learning Torah? It almost seems like, you know, a pre-known conclusion. We want to say Musar about Amelis Batayak. Okay, so B'chukotai Te'lechu, I don't know what to do with it. It can't mean keeping mitzvahs because that's the rest of the process. So it means being Amelis Batayak. How does B'chukotai Te'lechu get to Amelis Batayak? And particularly the phrase, not Limud HaTorah, but Amelim B'Torah. Now the concept of Halicha, being part of a person's fulfillment of Torah and mitzvos, is a very important concept that extends beyond Sefer Vayikra. It's actually found extensively in Pirkei Avot. For example, Perek Dalet, do we have a Siddur? Pirkei Avot somewhere? The blue? The green? Oh! It's going to have a translation. So now, you know. Now I don't have to worry about not knowing what it means. And I can tell you good stories on it. You want to hear a good story about the Mishnah? There's good stories here. Chain reaction. Ben Azayome, have a rutz l'mitzvah kala. Have a rutz l'mitzvah kala. Uvoreach min ha'avera. Shemitzvah goreret mitzvah va'avera goreret avera. Schar mitzvah mitzvah schar avera avera. Havirat l'mitzvah kala. And of course, you know, the source for havirat is by Avram. Vela bakar rutz Avraham. That's what we're paraphrasing. But it's interesting, the stress here on havirat l'mitzvah kala. Why dafka mitzvah kala? Shabirotz la mitzvah. Gemara in Brachas Davov, la'olam yarutz adam levesa knesses. You know, most of us don't run to shul. You're like a real nerd if you run to shul. First you need a minion jacket. And you need your tzitzis flying. Then you have the whole picture of the flipped out. He's running to shul. It's enough, we're going to shul. He's running to shul. What's your problem? There's a certain way a person looks on his way to shul. It's called schleptach. It's why our shoes wear out so quickly, because they drag along the floor as we make our way. I don't know how much, again, you can make chakira. Is it because it's a din in how you go to davening? Or is it because the person's tired in the morning? What would the nafkamina be? Mincha and Marv. And you see from the way people walk to Mincha and Marv that it's obviously not because of they're woken up in the morning. It's the same walk. Which is why Shir ends 1:20, because we figured it'll take 20 minutes to get to the basement. You know what I'm saying? They slept down the stairs. There was a Mincha. Oh my God. So, you know. Yarutz Adon Vesa Knesses. Yarutz Adon Vesa Knesses. So one thing we want to talk about here is Chukas HaGoyim. And that it's so severe, the contrast between Chukas HaGoyim and Chukas Hashem, an kedekach, that's the introduction to the Tochacha, and that's what the parsha is named after. Pella. Pella. You know, turning to Kedoshim, the very next parak, I mentioned in Parsha Shir this week that Parak Chaf, the second parak of Kedoshim, is basically a repetition of Perek Yudchet, the Perek we just spoke about, the list of Arayot. The difference is that in Yudchet it's talking about the prohibitions of Arayot, and in Perek Chof it's talking about the Onesh for Arayot. And Chazal learned from here that you need, in order to give a punishment for something, you need an Azhara and an Onesh. But the list could have been presented together. Why be separated? Similarly, it's because we can't get to the Onesh until we pass through the Perek that comes in between Perek Yudchet, the concept of Kedusha. you take the Isser Arayos and the Kamsa of Kedusha, you get the Onish of Arayos. And why? So I'll talk about more in Parashat. It's not what I'm talking about tonight. But the Chesh of Perek Yutet is Kedusha. And of course, on the most basic level, the relationship between Yutet and Yudchet is that Yudchet is talking about what to avoid, the areas of Tumah to avoid. And Yutet is talking not only about the things that are Metame, you need to avoid and remain Tahar, but speaking about trying to strive for a higher level of Kedusha. On the most basic level, between Kedusha and Tara is that Tara is avoiding impurity. Kedusha is an added sanctity. This is a very important thing for us to think about in our world, where at the most we talk about not making mistakes. Too often we're not sensitive enough about the need to strive for more than just being okay. Parsha begins, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says, Kvot chazal, melamin shenemer parsha zu b'hakel. Right? This parsha is presented to the entirety of the Jewish people together. Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta alehem, kidoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Now this really is the first time the Torah presents something that's going to become a major theme, particularly in Sefer Devarim. The Torah very often links mitzvah observance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keep the mitzvahs, ki ani Hashem asher hotzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim. I did this for you, and therefore you got to keep mitzvahs. But here it's saying much more. Here it's saying that your character should be a certain way, because I am a certain way. And the truth is, maybe we're so familiar with this or so oblivious of this that we don't realize and appreciate the uniqueness of what's being said here. This is the beginning of presenting the idea of man mimicking God, man striving to be godlike. Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem. And this refrain continues throughout the parsha about God's kedusha being a model of our kedusha. Into next week's parsha as well, parsha's Emor. Ani Hashem mikadoshchem. I am Hashem who gives you the potential for holiness, or already ingrains within you a certain holiness already. Ani Hashem mikadoshchem. You have the ability to be Mekadesh, to be Mekadesh Shabbos, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to be Mekadesh the world, to be Mekadesh yourself, it begins with. And this obviously is a huge goal. So what does it mean, Kedoshim, to you? So on the most basic level, it means the rest of the parsha, all the mitzvot, say Shimov of Tiro, Shabbos Tishmoru, Al Tifnei Elilim, the halachos that I mentioned in the parsha obviously are connected to Kedusha, which is why they're here. The question, though, is what the broader principle means, Kedoshim, to you. So Chazal say in a number of places that Kedusha is rooted in separation. Havi Purushim. In fact, the Lashon of the Medrash is, Sifra, is it means being separated even from things that are otherwise mutter to you. And if it means being separated from things that are usher to you, then there's no Chiddush. If Kedushim to you means not to eat chazer, not to eat dam, then okay, we already prohibited those things. No, it means something additional, something that's otherwise mutter. Now here there's an obvious question. Why would we separate ourselves from something that's otherwise mutter, and how would that make us holy? So Rashi interprets it this way. Have a prushim min ha'arayos u'min ha'avera shekol makom sh'ata motze geder erva ata motze kedusha. Rashi understands that the reason to separate yourself from things that are otherwise mutter is because there are things that are mutter, but if you do them, there's a danger it'll come to things that are aser. And the whole concept of Geder Arayos, Nagiya, etc., you know, Krovim, other Krovim who are in Asa Midaraisa, is to protect yourself from things that are otherwise Asa. I remember when I was in 6th grade, 7th grade, I don't remember which grade, but I remember very vividly. It's very hard to be a 6th or 7th grade Rebbe. Very hard to be a Rebbe. But it's hard to be a 6th or 7th grade Rebbe. Because boys are becoming sexually interested, and thus frustrated. And you, as the Rebbe, represent this evil Torah that's keeping them from what they want. And you're not going to get any teaching done the whole year, or any sympathy or happiness out of any of your students. All you're going to get is frustration, and you're going to be put into the role of having to defend things that there's no way 6th and 7th grade boys are going to sympathize with. But I still remember my teacher taking his briefcase, putting it up on the desk, and saying, "You guys like my briefcase?" We're like, "Briefcase. Okay, fine." So let's say I told you that if you touched it, there was a 1% chance you would be electrocuted and die. Or like, this guy's got a death wish, you know. Say, would you touch it? So there's always that one guy who's going to say yes just because, you know. We're like, no. He goes, would you just sit here with it here, unprotected? You'd build a wall around it. You'd want to make sure not that you wouldn't fall and trip on it and die. So if there's a 1% chance that Negiah is going to lead to da-da-da-da-da, so the real answer is that we don't care. You know, that we don't care about these, we don't care the results. So for sure we don't care about, you know, being go there and protecting ourselves. But the question is, how does that lead to Kedusha? How does that separation lead to Kedusha? It's a kasha. I can understand why it's important to make a gather, but how does it lead to Kedusha? Shekol makom shata motzei gather erva ta motzei Kedusha. The Ramban asks many questions on this Rashi and proves from a number of places that the concept of Kedusha, meaning precious, is something as a goal in and of itself, not to avoid other Isurim. Separation itself accomplishes something. And the Ramban says there's a danger that even with all the Torah's prohibitions, a person can be very involved in eating and drinking and sexuality, and that's a bad thing. Well, we're very involved in eating. Why is that a bad thing? And Rabban talks about the whole concept of nazirus and separation, and that we shouldn't be physical people. We should try as much as possible not to be physical people, and da 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 da. And you read this Ramban. I think most people read the Ramban, they're thinking, oh, Haredi, I know everything else. Haredi, Tzioni, Manotra, it's a Haredi Ramban. Right? Even things that are mutter, we shouldn't eat. Da, 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 da. And the obvious question is, you know, I don't think we believe that. Judaism is not a monastic religion. That people are supposed to live up in the hills and not eat and not enjoy. So I think the answer is very simple and very important. You know, when we talk about what is our life about, what are we here for, what is our mission, what are we aiming at? There's a very big difference between having an aim in theory and having an aim in practice. Most of us know very well, and many of us, maybe even most of us, sincerely believe that we aim for the things we know very well and identify with. The Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. How many of us don't know the phrase of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? How many of us don't believe the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Oh, you all believe Talmud Torah. I assume many of us believe that. Most of us believe the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. But that's something easier believed than done. Asei Ritzono Ki Ritzonecha. That's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. And there's a very fine line between enjoying this world and drafting a constitution that says that our goal is the pursuit of happiness. Doesn't sound so bad. The pursuit of happiness. Happiness is good, right? Who thinks happiness is good? I think happiness is good. Does the Torah think happiness is good? Yeah. It's not from Rav Nachman. It's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim. You know what I'm saying? But no one knows psukim. They know songs. Mitzvah Judaism believes in happiness. Can't function well if you're not happy. But that's not our goal. It's not one of the Aseres HaDibros. It could be a mitzvah gedola, but it's not, you know, it's not Yorg Valyavar. Be happy or I'll kill you. No! Our life is not about should not be about the pursuit of happiness. Our life should not be about the pursuit of a better meal, despite what you might think being in yeshiva. Our life should not be about the pursuit of sex. I don't think any of us would want to see ourselves or admit that we live our lives consumed by sexuality. And how much of our decisions and actions and aims and structures and, you know, plans are thinking about that and where that leads. It can be all consuming. Person should ideally be someone whose life is about more and who, even though he needs food and needs sexuality and their mitzvahs, and if you don't eat, you die. You don't have sex, you don't die. You don't eat, you die. So you must eat to survive, and you must have sex because it's a mitzvah, and the species needs to survive, and Puruva was the first mitzvah. But that my life is about something more. That beyond needing it on a basic level, I don't need it for my fulfillment in life. My identity, my essence is not about that. It's about something higher and better. And therein, in that point, lies the question of the degree to which man is like animal or man is like God. God created us like animals who need to eat and to have sex. But He created us with the aspiration and ability to focus not on those things that animals focus on and can only focus on, but on something higher. And that's up to us to decide. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshim yashar lekech. And that's the great chiddush of Judaism. Because the goyim have one of two options. Either they live all in this world, or they separate themselves from this world. Because there are a lot of goyim who realize that living in this world makes you animalistic, so it's one or the other. A goy can't bring a carbon shlamim. That's the famous representation of this word. The idea that you eat and enjoy, that you have a real relationship with your wife and enjoy the connection with each other sexually, but you're not consumed with it. The Gemara talks about certain gzeros that were made, brachas of chafal chaves, about sexuality, and it says that the gzeros were made so that Talmid Chacham shouldn't be with their wives like chickens. Chickens don't know any better. They're programmed to make eggs. They're programmed to do what they do. Human beings have the ability to know better. That Gemara doesn't mean to say that a person shouldn't have a healthy sexual relationship with his wife. But you shouldn't be like a chicken. I don't know if this is the agenda, but it doesn't matter. The whole anthropomorphic presentation of animals. Every year or so, there's a new Disney movie presenting animals as living human lives. Basically, they've covered all of them, right? Even bugs. At a certain time, there were two movies about bugs at the same time. I was very confused. It was ants and Bugs Life. They decided, this summer, we're going to show how ants have feelings. How can you ever step on an ant again after you see that? That could be your uncle. What's the name of the ant? The guy, the weak guy who's winning, who fights the fly, Flick. That could be Flick. How can you step on him? Nah, Madagascar, penguins plot, and you know. Now, meaning, I don't know if this is the agenda, whatever, but part of the implication is basically, if penguins are human, then humans are penguins. Let's study the lives of penguins. Let's see the penguins, you know, prepare and have summer, spring, and fall. Yeah, like, you know, that's geographic. This penguin is preparing for the spring. Excuse me? I'm just a penguin. I'm, you know. This penguin is looking for his friends. Is he really looking for his friends? You know, again, he might be drawn towards being with other penguins. I don't know if he knows this penguin is my friend. But the whole point of National Geographic is to present, you know, in a way that we can... But what does that do to us? This penguin is learning the Asarasadipa. This penguin is in Israel for the year. He's wearing black and white. But don't worry, he'll be going back afterwards and he'll be the same as before. You know what I'm saying? And you know, part of the problem when we talk about concepts, talk about Judaism, Kedoshim, Kedusha. Come on, Rabbi. Kedusha, this is so foreign, it's so abstract, it's so far from where we are. But that's a sad thing. It's a lot easier to separate yourself from the world than it is to engage the world and enjoy the world, but not become pulled down by it. And better to separate yourself from the world and be holy than to engage the world and lose that in the process. And you're not violating an Isser. You're just not realizing your aspiration. The Torah can't have an Isser not to be holy. It doesn't make any sense. But there's a chiyuv, not an opportunity or an option, it's a chiyuv. to be a higher, holier, godly person. And the problem is that since it's so intangible for the Ramban, for Rashi it's tangible, Geder Erva. But since it's so intangible for the Ramban, it's so easily lost in a society that narrows down Judaism to Asar Mutter. Yeshiva should be about not just, you know, learning when to do Mayim Achronim. I heard the beginning of Rav Halacha Shir today, which is important. You got to know when to do Mayim Achronim. It's the Halacha of Kedusha, Vizkadash, Vizim, Kedoshim, right? It's unfortunate that many of us, all of us, come from backgrounds where we don't know yet enough Torah, we don't know enough Halacha, we don't know enough Tanakh, so we need to work on all of that. But what I want people to realize is that yeshiva should be about something totally different. It should be about developing the understanding of the goal, the aspiration to reach the goal, and the sensitivity to the mechanisms it takes to reach the goal of Kedusha, of things like Kedusha, of fineness, of holiness, of betterness. And you know, when people think to themselves, everyone's thinking Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, and Shana Yaakov's going to hear, people in Yeshiva Shana Bet, moving on, people think Shana coming back Shana Bet. At each stage in your life, the barometer you have to use to ask yourself where I am, where I want to be, what I want to do with myself tomorrow, what are my goals? We need to make sure that we have goals that are the highest in sensitivity, in fineness, in mission. And not just to allow our goals to become simple, tangible things that we may have already realized. And I want to formulate it for everyone in the following way. There's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah, Chelek Yerodeah, which says that a Jewish baby cannot be nursed by a non-Jewish woman, assuming there's other options. A nursemaid. Where do we learn this from? Anyone knows where we learn from? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Said, let me get you a woman from the Jews, he wouldn't drink from any of them. So the Medrash explains, a mouth that's going to speak with the Shekhinah should nurse a non-Jewish woman. Okay, very nice. What's the kasha on this, obviously? None of us are going to be Nevi'im. The answer is that every Jewish boy is meant to be raised to be the top. Now, every Jewish mother knows that every Jewish boy is supposed to be raised to be the top doctor. That's not what it's saying there. Every Jewish boy is meant to be raised with the potential to be a Navi B'Israel in a time period when there's no Nevo'ah. How many of us retain that ambition to be Moshe Rabbeinu? It's when we drop that guard that everything falls away. And I don't think people should walk around their whole life with a Moshe Rabbeinu complex. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu yet. I'm not shining. Wait. I'm not shining. Oh my God, I'm not shining. What am I going to do? I'm going to polish my face. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to polish my face. I'm going to put extra pimple medicine on. You know, it makes me... You're not supposed to walk around with a complex. You have to get a healthy sense of who you are and be satisfied with you. But with a mission. With a mission for something higher. Kiddusha. It's what's so missing in our society. Can we think of anyone we know who's Kaddish? Rav Neventhal's Kaddish. As far as I can tell, yeah, I haven't seen him check, etc. But see, but that's depressing. Because for some people that's convenient. Okay, so you're Rav Neventhal, you're a freak of nature, you're Kodesh, the rest of us, we're a bunch of slugs. You know what I'm saying? You know, we sing, you know, crude chants at Ranger games. You know what I'm saying? The rest of us, okay, fine. We pour down beer from the blues section. Right? Yeah, okay. Rav Neventhal's holy and we're not. We send them a check. Right? You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's not what Judaism is supposed to be about. That's Christianity. I don't want you to think about Rav Neventhal. I want you to think about people, normal people, who are a little more holy, who are a little more refined, who are a little less stuck in the things we're stuck in. And that we should be able to see how we can be just a little bit more like that. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. So part of the problem with Moshe Rabbeinu is, this is Moshe, but this is me. How do I get there? So let's see all the little Moshe Rabbeinu's in between. Let's each look at the person who's one step finer than we are because he doesn't curse. Or two steps finer than we are because he doesn't salivate 5 minutes before dinner. Or three steps more because he doesn't spend all of the afternoon sitter dreaming about what he's going to eat for dinner. Or four steps more because he doesn't spend his time thinking about girls in that way and pornography and etc. And then, you know, let's... So again, I don't know that tomorrow I'm going to be Rav Nevinson. Or ever be Rav Nevinson. But tomorrow, maybe I can be a better version of myself. And you know what? We live in a world that is about the opposite of Kedusha. It's about the antichrist of Kedusha. Antithesis of Kedusha. It's about being natural, normal, whatever I want, I do. Whatever I want is automatically right. You know, that's the raison d'etre, that's not the word I mean, it's the cardinal principle of the fight for equal rights for homosexuals. What makes homosexuality equally legitimate? The fact that I feel like I want it. That's the proof. I feel a passion for it. That makes it legitimate. And again, we have a hard time being raised in our society feeling that just because people have a natural feeling for something doesn't make it equally right or equally legitimate. I'm not getting into the why, right, not right, is. I'm not getting into it. That's not the topic today. But the point I'm trying to make is just because a man feels a passion to have relations with a woman who's prohibited him doesn't make it automatically equal to holy relationships. And the sad thing is that I think most people do want to have a fineness in their lives. They do want to have a beauty in their lives. They don't realize how becoming so immersed in physicality makes that impossible. We don't realize it because there's nothing about physicality that's objectively wrong. No one can point the finger and say, you're doing an isser. You're not doing an isser. You're just pulling yourself down. You're making it impossible to float. You're making it impossible to be higher. Everyone's going to want, when they have Mirat Hashem relationships with their spouse, it should be beautiful, it should be special, it should be a better relationship. I should feel something special. But how can you feel something special when you're consumed by physicality and sexuality? This is automatically part of that. The great chiddush, the great promise of Parshas Kedoshim is that we can be holy. That we can be like God. That's an unbelievable statement. Kedoshim tiyu ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem ki ani Hashem Mekadeshchem, the Pasuk Rashi quotes. How wonderful, how lucky we are, how special, how tragic. Because they're not have that potential. Despite what you'll see in Disney movies, animals don't walk around frustrated with, you know, midlife crises. What have I done with myself? You know, I haven't accomplished anything. Oh, I've done walking around the barn. They have no possibility for anything greater. And they're not depressed about it. Human beings are ingrained with a guilt mechanism to make them feel bad about not accomplishing all that they can accomplish. Baruch Hashem. Because that moral compass pushes us forward to maximize the things that really matter. So for a human being not to realize it is tragic. And this is where, you know, Chukas HaGoyim comes in. A chok is something that doesn't make sense. What's the problem with doing what a goy does? The problem is that you're following him. Im v'chukoseim lo telechu. You are your mindset, your lifestyle, no isurim, is something that's becoming connected to people who don't have these aspirations. As I said before, it's easier to talk about an aspiration and believe in an aspiration than to have an aspiration. And a person can believe Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam and believe Kedoshim to you and believe in all the right things, but if his life in practice is all about what a society who doesn't aspire for that is all about, then ultimately that's what you're all about. You know, Talmidim often ask me, you know, Rebbe, I'm into sport. I like going to a sports game. I like going to the stadium and, yeah, with the fans, and we scream and we cheer and whatever. And is it usher? There's no usher. Ultimately, you know, another question people ask, Rebbe, I'm going back. I have friends who didn't go to Israel. I have friends who aren't religious. If I still have those friendships, shouldn't have those friendships, I can help them. Shouldn't help them me. The answer is very simple. Friendships are based on mutual interests. There's some friends you share X with and Y with. The friendships that are strongest are the people you share things that you care most about with. The stronger your friendship is with someone, the more it reinforces whatever shared values you have. Is there something wrong to going to a basketball game and schmoozing with the other people about basketball? No! Nothing wrong with it. But the more that's your chever, the more that's your mindset, the more that's your involvement, the more that's your passion, the more that's what you feel and what you think about, the more that's what you are. Is there any yes or no? Does it make you just a little bit more like everybody else? And a little less holier and better? Yeah. The question is not, is someone going to play ball or watch sports or go to a game? The question is whether it's going to be the same part of their identity. And you know, in order for it to not be the same part of your identity, you have to have a clearer, stronger alternative identity. If Rav Nevensah went to a basketball game, assuming you could explain to him what basketball was, I don't know if he was a kid, he played basketball, and you know, he was interested for whatever reason in connecting with the other fans. If he worked very hard and was successful at connecting with the other fans and cheering for the Knicks, you know, or you know, the Angels, I assume, you know, baseball, you know, and getting into the game, etc. He could pour beer down from the blue section. He could, you know, join, you know, jeer the other team. He could do all that. And it would never be part of him because he lives in a different world. The question is whether we have successfully connected ourselves for real, not in some, you know, penguin dick away, right, the penguin in Israel for the year, right? To a world that has higher, holier values in a way that continuing afterwards to connect to other worlds will be in a way that we appreciate it but aren't really living it. Because the verb of telechu means what you follow, what you connect to. It does not make any sense to like European football that Americans call soccer more than American football, and it makes no more sense to like American football more than soccer European football. Neither of them make more sense. That's why both of them are chukim. It's not us to play ball. It's not us to play soccer because you grew up in England and that's what you grew up liking. You like the sport. But both of them are chukim. Both of them are things we're part of because our society is part of. And what I want people to understand is that beyond the narrow iser, there's a tension here of the degree to which, as chukosai tishmoru, to what extent we're patterning ourselves after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we pattern ourselves after HaKadosh Baruch Hu more by limud HaTorah and wearing tefillin than we do by not stealing. Because not stealing is a mitzvah. But it's not something where we feel the same kind of patterning after HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's not a chok. It's because we understand it. The only chukim, the only things we should really care about that we don't understand should be the things that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I want to encourage people when they're thinking about themselves. You know, I'm talking to so many people now who are trying to take stock of themselves. Where am I? Who am I? Where am I going? What am I going to accomplish? What am I not going to accomplish? Who am I going to be in a year from now? Who am I going to be in 10 years from now? Who am I going to be in 20 years from now? The question is not only, am I going to dine with a minion 3 times a day? That's very important. The question is not only, am I going to learn? Am I going to kovei yitim la-Torah? Which is very important. The question is, who are you going to be? And to understand that Kedoshim to you is not something presented for the Kohanim. Although the Kohanim have to maintain many levels of Kedoshim. Daber al-Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael! Kedoshim to you. Are we there? Are we on the way there? And the contrast, the question of Chukas HaGoyim is an excellent way of us gauging where we are on the Kedoshim Tiyu barometer. Let's make sure it's not an emergency. Shana, I'm in the middle of giving Musar. In Yeshivat HaKotel giving Musar. Bye. Meaning, it could be that we're not sensitive enough yet to what Kedusha can be. But B'chukoseyam lo seylechu is something we can be sensitive to. The degree to which we care so much about the cultures we're part of and how that pulls us into a world that definitely isn't finer and holier. We may not know what holiest means, but we know what doesn't mean. You know, it's always so hard when people ask me these kind of questions. You know, issues like Super Bowl. What's wrong with watching the Super Bowl? There's nothing wrong with watching the Super Bowl. But for me, in my mind, it's, I don't want to have to be part of that culture. I don't want to be indoctrinated. I don't want to care that much. Sure, I like football. Sure, I root for the Giants. But I don't want to care that much that I'm an Evid. I want my life to be about something higher and finer. When Rashi talks about Geder Erva, being Kedusha, I think it's about the statement of how important it is to someone to avoid these things, to avoid the things that are wrong. There's a difference between something's wrong, something's usher, I'm not going to do it, and it mattering so much because I don't want to be a person who does that. I'm going to put up a gather. You know, when I talk to people about their aspirations, the question is, you see how important something is to someone or how unimportant it is to someone based on how much they're willing to risk versus how much they want to ensure that they accomplish it. What things in our lives are so important to us that we're not willing to risk them? And what things in our lives are not so important to us that, you know, okay, fine, hopefully it'll work out. Kiddusha is a Geder Erva, according to Rashi. The Torah, in the Tochacha that builds off of V'chukoseyam lo seylechu v'chukosai tishmeru, creates a sharp contrast. It's either in V'chukosai teylechu, or it's b'chukosai timasu. There's no middle ground. And I think the truth is that in the end there isn't. In the end there isn't, because either a person finds the ability to strive for something holy, or they feel threatened by the notion that they've passed on, and they feel a need to deny it being possible, to deny the beauty of something higher which they've decided not to reach for, which they've given up on. If I'm not going to strive for it, I have to believe it can't exist. And it even becomes a disgust, it becomes a ridicule of the people who represent it, even to the point of trying to stop people from realizing it, because anyone trying to realize that is threatening me. And you may feel sometimes inside yourself, that's why the need to find hypocrisy in rabbis and priests, right? To show that there's nothing holy. You feel threatened. They're not really holy. The need to punch holes because otherwise we may have to expect it for ourselves. The need to believe that people who are about Torah and about spirituality, it's about money, it's about politics, it's about the need to attribute those things, the me'isa, in people who are devoted to something higher, because of the insecurity that's generated by the idea that there could be something higher. The ritza l'dvar mitzvah. L'mitzvah kala. The ritza l'mitzvah kala, the essence of that is that the significance of a mitzvah is irrespective of how important it is in Judaism. But the basic fact that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, the running to it is a way of expressing not only a chiyuv, I have to do it, I do a mitzvah, but a passion for it. An interest in being connected to things that are higher. The Gemara in Brachas Lolem Yaretz Adon the Beis HaKnesses, the passion for that kesher with the Shekhinah. And what Chazal say in Bichukasai Teilechu, Shetiyu HaMelem B'Torah, which is an interesting phrase. What it should say is Sheta'amlu B'Torah, Shetisasku B'Torah, Shetilmedu Torah. What's the difference between Shetit'amlu B'Torah and Shetihiyu HaMelem B'Torah? The first is a verb that describes what you do. The second is an adjective that describes who you are. I don't know if I got the word descriptions right, but I'm saying something that if I'm not describing it right. Saying you should learn Torah versus you should be in a state of Amelus B'Torah. Shetiyu Amelus B'Torah. What the Medrash is focusing on here is not the action, but the state. And not Limud HaTorah as an action, but Amelus B'Torah as something that consumes you and defines you. That's the difference between being in yeshiva and being out of yeshiva, which you felt in Bein Hazmanim. Those amongst us trying to justify why we don't have to strive for anything better. So if that's the difference between being in yeshiva, being out of yeshiva, so eventually being out of yeshiva, so what difference does it make? The answer is that a person should hopefully live their lives being Amal B'Torah. And what that means is that you get so used to being in that state that it doesn't matter what else you're doing, you're Amal B'Torah. It's such a beautiful, irrelevant, imaginary dream world Tosfos and Brachas, right? Who asks about why it's not a hefsik when we go to work or whatever else we do, and you say Birch Star in the morning, you come back to learn later, it should be a hefsik, you should say Birch Star again. So Tosfos says, and ontologically, a Jew is always involved in Torah. I'm sure the Balei Tosfos were. Were they stupid? They didn't know what other Jews were? There were Jews. There were Jews who ran supermarkets and were Amal B'Torah. A number of years ago, an Israeli told me a story. Did I tell it to you? Stop me if I told it to you. He lives in Ra'anana. So he was on the way from Yerushalayim to Ra'anana from Yeshiva. And usually the bus that goes right to Ra'anana. He missed the bus. Oh, no, I missed the bus.
So we had to take the bus that goes through Bnei Brak.
Oh, no, right? With all the Haredis. Except the bus with all the Haredis. Okay, he gets on the bus. One, you know, guy from Shiva the Kotel and all the Haredis. Okay, this guy, the Haredis, sitting next to him, starts talking to him, where are you from? Oh, Shiva the Kotel, what are you learning? Learning Baba Bas, what sugya? Not a rabbi. Jew. What's it? Oh, you're doing this sugya. Okay, you're on this, rich for the Ramban. Guy in the Ramban says, no, no, that Ramban is this. He's disagreeing, he's a machloek, he's starting this. The whole bus is talking about the sugya. Not the direct bus to Ranana. Was it a bus of rabbis? I know. You know, when I meet certain people, a rabbi, Rebbe, let me tell you Dvar Torah. You ever meet those kind of people? Your yeshiva boy, come home. Oh, you're learning yeshiva. Let me tell you Dvar Torah. Is that what I said? Let me go look up something. He has a Dvar Torah in his mind. Whatever parsha has Dvar Torah in his mind. You learn Baba Kama, you learn Baba Mitzia, you learn Baba Basra, you learn Ksuvis, you learn Gittin, you learn Kiddush. Okay, kid walks into your car, you learn Krisis. Okay, you're stuck. You know what I'm saying? But you can talk to someone entire. You're on the train. What are you doing? You're reading that British newspaper for the train? There's like a train newspaper, right? The Metro, right? Or the New York Post, which is the same level of the newspaper, right? You're on the train. So what are you doing? Yeah, well, what are you doing, right? You've already looked at all the lines. You've memorized exactly where they go. So what are you doing now, right? So you're looking at the people. Oh, I wonder what he's thinking, right? Or you're picking up the dirty newspaper next to you and reading about how a cat jumped out of a 16th floor window. Or, you know, who their Giants are going to draft in the 16th round. Or you're thinking about something in the Shadu HaMeinu Batorah. Your life is a different level. Tell you why I say Krisis. My parents once insisted on setting me up. They insisted on setting me up. They're setting me up. So this is not going to end well. So I go to knock on the door. The father answers the door. I didn't realize. I didn't go, this kind of yeshiva shit. I didn't realize. My door will be right down. I figured she'll be right down. You know what I'm saying? Okay, fine. Why don't you come sit down? Okay, I'll come sit down. We sit down. What are you learning? I was like, what are you learning? Suddenly it hit me. I'm getting fired. So I was learning, you know, three or four mesechtas, three normal ones and Krisis. She said, what are you learning? I said, Krisis. He goes, she'll be right down. I learned yeshiva a number of years. I'll pick up, I'll have a conversation, I'll ask him a couple of shaylas, you know what I'm saying, man? I'm not going to be fired. What's going to happen when they pick up your daughter? What are you doing, brachas? She'll be right down. All right, what brachas are they going to apple? Great, okay, great, yeah, thank you. You wonder the kind of chassan you're going to get, right? There's a famous story they tell in Europe about a very rich guy comes to the yeshiva, he says he wants a chassan, takes him into the yeshiva, he says, he asks a question of Rambam, anyone who can answer a question of Rambam, be my son-in-law. I wonder what the girl's thinking, okay, Beseder. So no one answers the question, he starts pulling out, the guy comes running after, stop, what do you want? He goes, look, I don't know the answer, but I want to know the answer. He says, you're my son-in-law. I mean, when I take out of the story, everyone takes out of the story, you got to want the answer, you know the answer. I take out of the story, there's a rich guy who's able to ask a question of a smash on a Rambam that nobody knows the answer to. And that's not the official art scroll conclusion of the story. But to me, that's what we should aspire to. Are you guys ready to ask a question like that? So I'm going to get a call in 20 years from now, retired. I need a difficult question on the Rambam. I've got to get it up, you know. How many of us are going to be looking for that for our daughters-in-law? Our daughters. Shetu ha-melem ha-Torah. That's b'chukos ha-teleichu. That's the opposite of chukos ha-goyim. There's living your life where you're involved and connected to the societal norms around you. And there's a life where you're creating a world of those norms that's rooted in Torah. And the reason Limud HaTorah is so important is because it is something that can be your definition and atmosphere at every moment, no matter where you are. You put your tits on in the morning. You're like, okay, you're on a train, you're bored, you can take your shirt off and look at your tits. I'm thinking, you're not going to do that. And it's weird, you know, it's like breast lift, right? And I'm saying, but Limud HaTorah is something that you can constantly be amel in. Ashrei mi shegadol b'Torah v'yamol b'Torah. It's a different thing. And it's essential that people understand what this higher level is supposed to be, and the sharp, stark contrast that the Torah believes. It's either all or nothing. It's either b'chukosai te'lechu or b'chukosai te'masu. And many of us know what the b'chukosai te'masu is. We know it from people in our communities, and we know it from ourselves. Why do people feel such a need to mock? Because they're threatened. Because either this is not real, or it's what I really need to be. So then until I mock by talking about how relevant, irrelevant he is and how much he doesn't understand reality. So, okay, he doesn't understand reality. Now we're supposed to understand reality, so he's a freak. Okay, fine. And the people who look a little closer and threaten me more, I undermine them as hypocritical. So good, we've explained why it's impossible, but you know what? It's possible. And we've all seen it. I met with a boy this week, comes from a very Jewish background, and fortunately he's, you know, finding himself right now. And he said to me, he goes, I know I want to be very religious. Why? Because I have a cousin who I go to visit, and he wasn't from, now he's very from. And he's such a beautiful home, his wife, his children, who he is. I never saw him raise his voice. I went to his house, but I never saw him raise his voice. I said to the boy, I said, that doesn't come by playing religion. It comes by feeling it. It comes by feeling a certain way, by wanting to feel a certain way. It's not an action. It's not by doing mitzvahs. It's by being something. So you're not going to get there by playing religion. You got to get to the core. And so many of us want the results. We don't realize because we're too young and inexperienced with it. It's not, you don't get the results by punching the card. You get the results by being the person. There's a difference between learning a Seder and finishing a Masechta and being the person. And Baruch Hashem, we know what that person can be because we've seen it. We've seen it in other people in a clear way, and we've seen that aspect in ourselves in light flashes. But the problem is, you have the flash, and then it pulls back. And then you don't see it. Then you have to work for it. Yagati, lo yagati umatzati al ta'amin. Yagati umatzati, yagati v'lo matzati al ta'amin. Hashem shows us what we can be. We have the flashes where we see what we can be to give us the inspiration, to give us the basis to believe in what we can be. But then it's taken away and we have to work for it because that's the only way it's real. We have to take advantage of those flashes and the other people we see and the flashes we see in ourselves to be inspired to know that we can be it. To want to pull ourselves away from Chukas HaGoyim, pull ourselves away from the mundaneness of physicality, know that we can be godly, and seek to imitate it, and seek to reach it. To understand that the beginning of reaching for Kedusha is setting ourselves aside from physicality and from the norms of a society that's rooted in physicality. The Rambam, when he talks about the notion of Kedusha, that a person seeks to separate himself from Hamon B'nei Adam, from the masses. Not because we have some kind of condescending, but because the masses mean the lowest common denominator. Like I spoke about on Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut, that we have to be so careful, as we're ba'achdus with all Jews, which means highlighting what we feel similar in, loving what there is to love in every Jew, stressing what brings us together, what unites us, not to allow ourselves to be the lowest common denominator, to be the highest person we can be, because no less than that is expected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is expected from ourselves. We are programmed to expect no less than the best we can be. And no matter how hard we try to deny that, we will never succeed at convincing ourselves to settle for less than we know we can be, because we're programmed to want that. And it's a lot harder at 50 at midlife to reach it than it is at 18 and 19 when your whole life's ahead of you. never to turn where we are into the lechatchila in the dream. To always have a clear vision of what Kedusha means, of what B'chukosai Te'lechu means, of what keeps us from that, of what we need to do to be there, even if we're not yet doing it, even if we're not yet ready to be doing it, to know that we need desperately to be doing it, that it's important to us to be doing it, and that we're looking for the way to be doing it, and that we're on a path that's going to bring us to be doing it. We don't have to necessarily be doing it yet, but we have to care enough to be pursuing it, to be following it. In B'chukosai Te'lechu. Yachol B'kiyim HaMitzvahs. No, that's in B'chukosai Te'shmoru. Ela Shetiyu HaMeilim B'Torah. Shetiyu HaMeilim B'Torah. And it doesn't just mean limit Torah, it means to be immersed, to be that kind of person. You know, we all live in the real world, and we all have to talk to all kinds of people. So I was on a flight to America in March, and I was sitting next to another Rosh Hashiva. We weren't next to him, across an aisle. Like, he was like this much in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's turning around like this, I'm running like this, and we talked for 5 hours. All about Torah and Kedusha and all these kind of things. There was no reason to talk about anything else, because neither of us really care deeply about anything else. And Chinuch, he's a Rebbe, but you know, we didn't even notice the meal came and the meal went and neither of us ate. And, you know, I didn't think about what movies are on, they're not on, da-da-da. So again, you can't have that kind of conversation with a goy next to you. And okay, so you have the best, okay, what are you going to do, right? Okay, fine. But when you're able to be with someone else like that, you can resonate what you really are and say, wow, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lefo'od Aviv Di'ilanu Min HaTov. Is that what you're ready for today? If you are sitting next to another person like you on a plane, what kind of conversation is it going to be? So where are you heading? Where are you in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now? Are we pacifying ourselves with the fact that I don't do Averos? I go to Minyan 3 times a day. Except Shacharis. That's in the morning. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's when we tell ourselves that we don't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. We tell ourselves we don't need to be holy. And Judaism can be what this guy, what it is for that guy. And I'm Jewish, I have a bris milah, and you know, I celebrate Yom HaTzmut, and I went to yeshiva. I have a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. I'm going to YU, so, you know, I could have gone to a secular university, so God owes me. I'm saying, so, you know, when I get to Shamayim, you know, he has big payback time. I'm talking about 70 virgins, you know, the images that we, you know, right? It's when we lower our expectations.